to the scripture tonight. And we're looking in John's Gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter number 15. John's Gospel, chapter number 15, and we're reading verses 4 and verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5. And if you would read it with me. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I want to speak tonight just for a few moments on the subject of the growth principle. The growth principle. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word will get down into the depths of our heart. I pray that your spirit will inspire our spirits, and Lord, that you will be at work within us tonight. And I praise you for that, and I ask you that you would help me, Lord, to speak your word as you'd have it spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and you may be seated. A couple of years ago, we went apple picking, and we went up to somewheres out back of Oka, and it was a great day. It was good weather. They had all kinds of classic cars lined up in the parking area, and some that I hadn't seen in years, and there were lots of apples on the tree. All those things that go together. You know, you're with family. You've got classic custom cars. You've got lots of apples to pick. And the sun is shining, even if it's a little bit brisk. And it was just a great day. As a matter of fact, they had all kinds of different apple trees that you could pick from. Different apples. And I don't know all the different uses of different types of apples, but there were some that you wanted, if you wanted to just eat them as an apple, then you would take these certain kinds. And if you wanted apples for cooking and making apple pie or applesauce or apple crumble, I'm going to make myself hungry here. If you wanted for those, then there were different kinds of apples for those. And there were some that were softer flesh, and there's some that were a harder flesh, and there were some that were, the ones for eating were a little sweeter, and the ones that were for cooking, as I understand it, were a little more tart. They weren't quite as sweet. And so you could take your pick. The one thing that they had in common, and there were some differences in those apples. You know, some of them were like a darker red, and some of them were kind of a dusty kind of color red, and there were some of them that were larger than others were. Some types were larger than others, and you can tell I'm not an apple specialist, but, you know, just the great powers of observation and all that. So there were some that were bigger and some that were smaller, and you picked according to what you were looking for. But the one thing that they all had in common, they were all growing as a product or a fruit of the tree. Whether it was the little small cooking apple or the bigger eating apple, the bright red apple or the kind of dusty rose-colored apple with the little flecks in it, it didn't matter. They were all attached to the tree to grow. Now you say, Pastor, that's not really all that deep, but you know what? There were apples that were lying on the ground. Now, I've got to tell you that when it comes to apple picking, I discriminate. because I don't want the apple that's misshapen. If I'm going to pick it, I want the good one. I remember years ago going with my mother to apple pick, and she always, back in those days, would like to save a dime or two. And I can remember going with her to pick what they call drops. And I know what I mean by drops. Maybe you picked them. You gone for those? She wanted them, I think, for applesauce or something that she was making. And so you got a deal if you would go into the orchard and take the ones that had dropped off the tree. And so you weren't reaching up to pick your apples. You were reaching down to pick them off the ground. They called them drops. The reason that they were cheaper was simply they had become disconnected somehow from the tree. They'd fallen off somehow, or somebody had knocked them off. And now they were in danger of going bad because they were no longer connected to the tree. And so you could get a deal on them. They might be a little softer. They had some bruises on them that the other apples didn't have. They were kind of the seconds, the imperfects, because they had got knocked off the tree somehow. Jesus, as he talked to his disciples, talked to them about spiritual growth. He talked to them about becoming the kind of people that he had called them to be. And as he spoke to them about their growth in him and about developing in him, he said, it's like I am the vine and you are the branches, and every branch is called to bring forth fruit. And then he said, if you're going to bring forth fruit, you've got to abide in me. You've got to stay connected to the vine. Now, he was talking about grapevines and grapes more than he was talking about apples, but the principle remains the same. Because the challenge that Jesus gave to his disciples was not to remain as they were. It wasn't to stay in the condition that they were as he was speaking with them. But it was to see growth within their life that would change them forever. When we first come to the Lord, I'm thankful for the power of the new birth and repentance and water baptism and when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I thank the Lord for all that happens in an instant. You know, somebody gives their heart to the Lord, there's something that just begins to change, and there's change that happens, and it's not because somebody is telling them, you got to do this, this, this. There automatically is a change of outlook because there's been a change of direction. Repentance does that. When we're baptized and His name is placed on our life, there's a spiritual change that takes place. Peter said that your conscience is cleansed from dead works. When we receive the baptism of the Spirit, and what a wonderful experience it is. And, you know, you feel like you first receive the baptism of the Spirit, and you feel like you're walking on air. And it's like a new day has dawned within my life. Things are different. Things have changed. But when we are saved and when we come to know the Lord, He didn't save us to live a life that is static just where I am now in my relationship with Him. But as we begin to walk with the Lord, there is a process of growth that comes not because I will it to happen, but because, first of all, I am connected to Jesus Christ. The very first principle that I want to bring to you, and I'm going to go a little bit out of order, brother, so I won't mess it. I hope I don't mess you up too much. But the very first principle is this: the principle of connection. The principle of connection. This is what Jesus states. He states it actually in that chapter. He states it over and over again because his disciples were like us. It sometimes took a while for it to sink in. And so he states it over and over again. If you want to be effective, if you want to be productive as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, it's not going to happen simply because you read a book about 10 steps to growth. It's not going to happen simply because you hang around with the right people. That's important, but that's not all there is. Jesus said, if you want to grow, you've got to be in me. You've got to be connected to me. You've got to have a relationship with me. The thing with that kind of relationship is that the relationship of the fruit and the branch and the vine is not a three times a week relationship. Can you imagine if every Sunday branches connected to apple trees and apples were on the branch? Now you're saying, Pastor, that's silly. That can't happen. And then on Sunday night about 10 o'clock, the branches all fell off and they all just kind of laid there and thought they were going to do well. And then on Wednesday, those branches dusted themselves off and reconnected themselves somehow and had a little tiny withered up little apple hanging from it. And then Wednesday night about 9 o'clock, they just kind of laid down again on the ground, disconnected, until hopefully Saturday night prayer. But that's sometimes the way that we live. When Jesus said, if you're going to grow, if you're going to be the mature believer that I want you to be, then you've got to develop a connection with me that is always there. The life of the branch comes from the vine, and the fruit comes from the life of the vine coming through the branch. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to grow as Christ wants us to grow, we need more than a Sunday relationship with God, more than a Wednesday relationship, more than a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. But there's got to be that kind of relationship that says, Jesus, I'm connected with you on Monday morning. I'm connected with you on Monday afternoon. I'm connected with you wherever we go. Wherever I go, I am connected with you, because the life of the branch is in the vine and his connection. Some of you won't remember these days, but I remember when the internet first started to come around. And I got my first modem. And it connected to the phone line. And so when you would connect your computer to the internet, it would make all kinds of funny noises, and finally it would connect. And that first one, I think, was around 2,400 baud. It just was slow. And then I graduated. My wife let me buy a new one. And internet speeds were blazingly fast and got up to 14.4. Now, let me tell you what that's kind of like. It's kind of like going out on the sidewalk and crawling along. That's about what it was like. And depending on how many people were using the internet and connecting into that server at the same time, you might get a good connection and you might even be able to watch YouTube a little bit in low def. And here was the other thing. I remember when they first started, they came around, they said, we have high-speed internet. Now, nowadays, that's all anybody buys, usually. They had high-speed internet. And the difference with the high-speed internet, well, other than speed, was that you didn't have to dial in to connect. It was just always on. So you didn't have to wait for your modem to dial in and connect, and then you could download your email and you'd see it coming in like 1, 2, oops, must have an attachment. Anybody remember the days when somebody sent you a 1 megabyte attachment and you were like, no, why'd you do that to me? Some of you, you don't really remember those days, I'm sure. But the new high-speed internet, there was something different about it because you didn't have to dial in now. It was just always on. So you didn't have to go through all the beeps and the buzzes of the modem connecting and the dial tone, and or heaven forbid when you got a busy signal. Because now, Brother Kimoya, did you ever have to connect like that? No, you never did. You want to thank your lucky stars. I have a point here. I'm going to get to it in just a minute. But, and it would be frustrating because you could get in the middle of going somewhere and looking at something, and then all of a sudden, nothing. Now, sometimes that still happens. But sometimes, We live our Christian lives like that old style internet connection where I have a need. You know, it may have been I have a need to check my email, so I've got to get connected. So you know what I got to do? I got to click the button. I got to wait for it to go. I'm having fun now. I can't make the right sound, so work with me here. You, those of you who have experience, you know what I'm talking about. It just goes, and finally it connects. And then you start to open your email program, and then you're going to get your email some way or another. Just like we sometimes view our Christian relationship that I need to hear from God. So I've got to go. And you know, some people, what they had to do, they would have to unplug the phone and then plug in the computer. Anybody remember those days? You unplug your phone and then you would plug in your computer. And then when your computer was done, you'd unplug your phone, plug in or unplug your computer, plug in your phone again until the next time. Sometimes we treat God like that. And here's what happens. All of a sudden, I decide that I need to hear from God. I've got to download some heavenly email. And so here's what I've got to do. I've got to go through it. I've got to unplug the old phone that's been connecting me to everyone else. And I've got to plug in my modem. And then I've got to try to connect it. And I've got to listen to all these things. And finally, I'm going to get through. And you see, that's what happens when we are not in connection with God on a daily basis. Because all of a sudden, I need something from God. But I've got to work through this, and I've got to work through that, and I've got to get this out of my head, and I've got to get that out of my head, because I've got to make a connection with God. Jesus said, abide in me. Don't make me a part-time connection. Don't make me just when you need me. But live with that connection with God. Because Jesus said, if you want to grow, you've got to stay connected to Him. See, the spiritual life of a believer is not self-contained. It doesn't come from within myself. If I can just keep myself pumped up, if I can repeat the right things, if I can just somehow talk myself into spiritual life, spiritual growth comes from Jesus Christ and your connection with Him. Staying connected. You know, after every windstorm, they say it's going to be windy tomorrow. After every windstorm, there are always branches of various sizes laying around on the ground. If they weren't dead when the wind hit them, they soon would be dead, laying on the ground. Because disconnection from the source of life makes things brittle and easily broken. See, those branches that you see on the ground, usually there's been something internally that's been going on that you didn't see when you looked up and looked at the branches. But there's been something there. There's been a little bit of rot. There's been a little bit of disconnection. And sometimes we can go through the motions and we can clap our hands or we can lift our hands, but our heart is disconnected from the source. And Jesus said, if you want to grow, if you want to mature, you've got to be connected. You've got to abide in me. I was looking at this and I thought about some reasons for disconnection. Some reasons why. Sometimes we disconnect. Here's what I came up with. Number one, sometimes, naturally speaking, the wind blows against the branch and there's some inner weakness. May not even be visible from the outside, but something's happened. It may be that the route that the sap and the life would take to get to the tip of that branch has somehow got cut off. It may have started to rot, and the life couldn't make it past the rot, and it looked good. Just a while back, there's a big tree on the corner of our neighbor's property, and I mean big, it's big, and it had a V in it, and we came home one day, and one of those big, it was probably this big around, I guess, where it split right at the V. And it came down across our neighboring back's house and across their property, and they had to come. And, and look after it. Because somewhere along the way, there was a weakness in the connection. Something had happened internally. It looked fine. And you know, there are sometimes in our lives that trouble comes. It took the wind to blow against it to bring it down. Sometimes trouble is the wind that blows in our lives. And if we don't have that established connection with God, if we haven't made it a goal of my life that I am going to be in Jesus and Jesus is going to be in me, trouble comes. And trouble comes like the wind that blows against. And if there is that disconnection internally, sometimes we get offended. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes a branch breaks off. It's gotten brittle and it breaks off because something brushes against it. I thought about that and I thought of how if you don't keep the life of Jesus flowing through your life, you're going to get offended. The Bible talks a lot about offense. Offense is that something that gets in your heart. That it starts quite often, it's just something small. Somebody said something or didn't say something or did something or didn't do something. And it becomes something that just begins to build within you. Somebody has brushed up against that branch and it begins to build until the thing that really triggers that whole breaking off completely thing is not even what really started it. But there was offense somewhere along the way. And offense cuts us off from the life of Jesus flowing through us. You say, well, they were wrong. They may have been, but when I allow offense to be a part of my life, you see, the enemy will try to bring offenses in your life that you will harbor. And when you begin to harbor them, they slowly but surely begin to choke off the veins of God's presence within your life until the branch that you are begins to wither and die, and whatever fruit there might have been begins to wither. Offense. You know, the Bible even says that the way a man treats his wife can hinder his prayer. It begins to shut off the flow. When we hold things in our hearts, we say, well, it's just me and the way I am and the way I feel. But that's why Jesus taught us that we need to get it right, that we cannot allow ourselves to be living with offense all the time. Because it begins to choke off the flow. And something happens. We need to be careful about giving needless offense. But we also need to be equally careful that I'm not the kind of person that continually is looking for an offense, looking for a reason to be angry, looking for a reason to be upset. Sometimes a branch can be intentionally broken. Sometimes, even while connected to the trunk or to the vine, something gets into that connection and blocks the flow of life, and the branch dies while it's still physically connected to the vine. Thought about that, and I thought of how easy it is for sin to disrupt the connection with God. Because you see, here's what can happen with sin if it's not repented of, is that when you begin to pray, you know what the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost taps you on the shoulder and says, you going to deal with this? I'm not going to ask for your experience because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but that's what the Holy Ghost does. He'll tap you on the kind of tap you on the side of the head and say, hey, you going to deal with this today? And you know what? If we're stubborn or if we're set in our way, here's what we do. We say, well, you know what? I'm done praying right now because I'm not going to deal with it. And the Lord's not going to let me get past it. And you know what happens the next time you go to pray? He taps you up the side of the head and says, you're going to deal with it today? And you know what you do? You say, well, I guess that's it for now. I don't feel like praying right now. And the next day, you know what you do? You say, I don't feel like praying today because I know what's going to happen when I get down to pray. He's going to tap me up the side of the head and say, you're going to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. And so I'm not going to pray. And let me tell you what happens. Sin breaks your connection with God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we talk about them a lot, but when they sinned in the garden, God came down as he always did, but Adam and Eve hid in the bushes. God already knew what they had done, but Adam and Eve's sin caused them to build a barrier of bushes between them and an all-seeing, all-knowing God. God knew exactly where they were the whole time. But sin breaks connection. Busyness breaks connection. Sometimes we get too busy to pray, but we're not too busy to watch Netflix. We're too busy to pray, but we're not too busy to play a game. We're too busy for church. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here on a Sunday night in the middle of a freezing rainstorm. We get busy. We get things on our mind, and we prioritize the wrong things. And I don't want to preach this morning's message all over again. We allow busyness to choke off the work of God and the life of God. We let selfishness begin to choke it off. Jealousy, carelessness. Sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's something that seems to just happen. I saw a picture a while back of a tree, and it was a fruit tree. And when that tree was very young, somebody had put kind of a ring thing around it, around one of the branches. For a while, that branch was able to grow. But there came a point where that ring began to impede the growth of the branch because the flow couldn't get through. I'm not going to finish my message tonight. I'm halfway done. But sometimes there are things that we allow into our lives that we think are very small and insignificant that come back to choke off the life of God within our lives. And we have to deal with it. Because above everything else, I've got to be connected to Jesus. I know as a pastor, you know, I know sometimes people think, well, you know, you're a pastor, you never have to deal with anything. You don't, you know, you guys are saints and you know, you just live in another realm and you just, you know, you don't live the same way everybody else lives. You don't, you know, you're just so holy and righteous and, you know, you just live. Let me tell you something, that's not the way it is. A minister, first of all, is a saint or is a child of God and has to practice the very same things that anybody else has to practice if you want to grow spiritually. And it would be possible for me to come to the place myself to say, that's it, I've grown big enough, I've grown far enough, that's it, that's all, this is where I'm staying. But Jesus didn't say, you grow this big and then you can disconnect. He didn't say you can grow this big and you can disconnect. He didn't say you can live for me for 10 years and then you can disconnect. But he simply told his disciples, abide in me and I in thee, and you will bring forth much fruit. I want to close. We're going to go back to Brother Kamoy. We're going to go back to a scripture in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow. Paul would write to churches and he'd say, you're at a point where you should be teachers, but you're still needing to be fed like a baby to have its bottle. He said, you just haven't grown. And tonight, the principle of connection. We'll get to the principle of production the next time I get to preach on a Sunday night. But the principle of connection. Let me go back to the orchard again for a moment. A tree can be 25 years old. A branch can be there for 20 years. It can be bringing forth fruit. It can be producing every year. But the minute that branch disconnects from the tree, it begins to die. I say that to say this. It doesn't matter if you've known the Lord for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or more. When we allow ourselves to become disconnected from Jesus, we begin to die spiritually. It may not appear at the moment. You know, that branch, when it falls, it still has its green leaves and it still has its apples hanging from it. But it's dying. Probably by the next day, those leaves are withered. And a week later, that those apples that were so red and full of promise, now they're just withered and shriveling. Because it lost its connection with life. As we stand together tonight, connection. The work of the Spirit within our lives, the work of the Holy Ghost, is about more than coming to an altar and receiving the baptism of the Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Now, if you haven't already received that great gift, it's God's promise for you. It's God's power within your life. It's a wonderful experience as He comes into your life. And there's power. But if all that we allow the Holy Spirit to do within our lives is cause us to speak in tongues, we've missed it. There's so much more. Because the work of the Holy Spirit beyond speaking in tongues, as powerful as that is to change me. It's to transform me. It's to empower me. Not only when I'm in church, but when I'm at home and when I'm at work or when I'm at school or wherever I may be. His Spirit His purpose is to flow through my life. Last week, if you weren't here last Sunday morning, I was talking about praying without ceasing and being in touch with God. And sometimes you need that devotional time and that prayer time with God. But there's sometimes that you have to train yourself to have a God consciousness that says, God, I can't stop right now and find a place to kneel, but I need you. And I got a problem here. And there's people all around me, so I can't just, you know, I can't just get to my knees right now, but I need you, and I'm talking to you as hard as I can internally. You see, what's happening is I recognize I need that connection. I need Jesus in my life. I need His touch. And tonight as we sing, I want to invite you just to come. We always conclude by coming to the front. I want to invite you just to come to the front. And I want you just to come and raise your hands as we pray together. We're going to pray for each other, and but I want you just to come and to lift your hands or whatever you feel comfortable with and just say, Jesus, I need you more. I want you more. I need your touch in my life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. If you haven't been living that way, make a fresh decision that this week I'm going to stay connected. This week. I'm going to allow the life of Jesus to flow through me every day. This week is going to be different. This week is going to be a week of growth in Him. Let's sing. What's the song?
Come to